all and all is beneath him. And certainly he has allowed us to take part in this Sunday morning service. And it's good to be alive, alert, and active. And it's good to know you're alive. It's so good to be able to look out to see you, and you able to look up here and see me, and look on each side of you and behind you and in front of you and see people. That means that you're alive. Amen. God has blessed us beyond our prayers and beyond enumeration, and I'm glad about it. Certainly, we thank God for these preachers who are with us today. Reverend McCoy, who's presiding over the service. Reverend Skipper, who's here with us in the pulpit. Reverend Foster, Reverend Mims, Reverend Redwine. Amen. We have any other preachers? All right. So good to have our deacons and trustees who have devoted us, turn our hearts to God for worship and word. Thank God for this young youth praise team. Amen. Amen. Thank God for them and their courage and commitment to praising God. Earlier we had the older group, older praise team, but our young people are part of what God is doing in a pandemic. Come on, bless God for them. Amen. Amen. I commend their spirit. I talk about them all the time. They have such a wonderful spirit. I thank all of you for the card. We had a big card that came from the youth department. And Ms. Kirkland read it to us today. When my kids give me a card or someone give me a card, if I'm closer enough to them, I have them to read the card to me. To make it their words, and certainly it was heartfelt, and we received that card. So thank you. Amen. Come on, bless God again for our babies. Amen. Our junior deacons were part of our devotion. Thank God for them, and certainly to the musicians and all of you, our environmental safety committee and the volunteers, our media ministry. Everybody that's here, it's just good for us to be here. Amen. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Woke up this morning with my mind. It was stayed on Jesus. Woke up this morning with my mind stayed on the Lord. Woke up this morning with my mind, it was stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Woke up this morning with my mind stay on Jesus. Woke up this morning with my mind stay on the Lord. Woke up this morning with my mind, it was stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Walking and talking with my mind. Come on, let me hear you. Stay. Walking and talking with my mind stay on the Lord. Walking and talking with my mind, stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Look at somebody, if you will, and tell them, ain't no harm to keep your mind. Stay. It ain't no harm to keep your mind. Stay on the Lord. It ain't no harm to keep your mind. Stay on Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Yeah. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 6. You better have your mind on him. The way the world is going and all that we're dealing with, you better keep your mind stayed on the Lord. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. If you have it, say amen. Amen. If you don't have it, say wait. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. And follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Look at somebody, if you will, and say, fight the good fight of faith. Amen. Look at another and say, fight the good fight of faith. Amen. You may be seated. Fight the good fight of faith. Paul wrote his son in the ministry, Timothy. He wanted to encourage Timothy in his leadership at the church at Ephesus. Ephesus was not an easy assignment. Ephesus had problems, like all churches do. And so Paul, he wrote Timothy to encourage him right in the midst of his oppositions. He wanted Timothy to know his leadership responsibilities. He had to stop those, the false teachers who were teaching damnable doctrines. He had to oppose false teachers. As a leader, it's not always easy. You can't be anything calm. And anything goes. Because God has given us boundaries. That there are some things you hear and some things you are taught that's not good for you. And Paul said to Timothy, you got to stop. You got to stand up against those teachers who are teaching damnable doctrines. Timothy, being leader of the church at Ephesus, had personal disciplines and responsibilities. He could not just prepare to preach, but he had to prepare for his own personal struggles. Let me pause and say to you that preachers have problems too. And we just like you.
That's right.
We are not exempt from satanic attack. And just like you cry, we want to cry. And just like you hurt, we want to hurt. And so Paul, he had to write Timothy to encourage Timothy to stay true to his own personal disciplines. Timothy, if you're going to lead well, you need to give yourself to studying the word. You need to give yourself to praying. Timothy, you have leadership responsibilities, but you also have personal issues. He says, man, even under the weight of your own struggles, God has called you to deny self, to encourage other hurting folk. That he had to encourage the congregation, the whole congregation, to pursue godliness. Timothy, you're at Ephesus and you're fighting. You're in a struggle. And man, your personality, your demeanor is a problem for you. Because Timothy, by nature, was timid. He was shy. And he had a nervous spirit. He didn't know how to be aggressive within what God had called him to. And so Paul wrote him and said, man, this battlefield that we're on has no place for cowards. You got to fight, man.
That's right.
You got to fight.
That's right.
I know you're saved, but you got to fight, man.
Yeah.
I know you don't want to, and I know that it's against your nature, but man, you got to stand up and fight. Timothy was wrestling with how to deal with life when life overwhelms you.
That's right.
How to deal with the pressures of everyday life.
Yeah.
How to deal with false and fake people who smile in your face.
That's right. Amen.
Don't mean you no good.
Amen.
How do you deal with life And Paul said, man, life is a fight.
That's right.
You may not want to fight, but man, it's a fight. It's a struggle. It's a wrestle. It's a contending with. Because you gave your life to the Lord, man, understand that Satan has unleashed his hellhounds. Not only are they following after you, but they are biting at your heel. And they want to catch up with you to tear you to shreds. Life is a fight. Let me pause to say, if life lived by faith was easy, everybody would live life by faith. If it was easy. But life, living by faith, is a struggle. Living by faith is easier said than done. It's difficult. It's hard. It's trying. It's challenging. It's demanding. Living by faith is a fight.
That's right.
I like how Paul puts it, though. He says, it's not an evil fight. It's a good fight. And when you do it by faith, when you fight by faith, a few weeks ago, I told us that when Satan comes up against us, what he wants to do is to pull us out of the spirit realm. He wants us to get in the flesh. He wants us to do it like we used to do it. You know how we used to do it. We used to draw lines in the sand and double dog dare you to come across the line. We used to put sticks on our shoulders and dare the person standing in front of us to knock off the stick. We used to say, if you say one more word. We used to fight the physical fight. And see, Satan knows that he cannot win against us when we are in the spirit realm. So he wants to draw us out of the spirit realm and get us in our flesh. Paul says it's not that kind of fight, because it's a good fight. A flesh fight is a bad fight. This is a good fight. This is a fight of faith. Satan wants your faith. That's what he's really at. He's not at your car. He's not at your house. He's not at your clothing. He's at your faith. Listen, stop telling people that Satan took your car. You got it repossessed.
That's right.
Satan don't have a storehouse for material things. You stop saying that Satan foreclosed on your house. You didn't pay your note. He doesn't want your car and your house and your food and your clothing. Satan is at your faith. And he wants to draw you out of the spirit realm into the flesh. Paul says we don't fight that kind of fight, Timothy. This is a faith fight. This is a good fight. And he says, man, if you're going to fight, there are several things you need to understand to fight the good fight.
That's right.
He says, man, the good fight requires fitness.
That's right.
And in verse 11, a clause, he tells Timothy what he needs to flee.
That's right.
He says, flee these things. When you're getting ready to compete in a physical contest, there are several things you got to shun, you got to push away.
That's right.
If you're getting ready to run a marathon, you can't be at the table eating pound cake.
That's right.
Because pound cakes add what? Pounds.
That's right.
If you're getting ready for a contest, you got to shun some things. Listen, everything that tastes good to you is not good for you. Because some things you eat are against you. And here it is. Paul tells his son in the ministry, Timothy, if you're going to compete, Timothy, if you're going to be in this competition, if you're going to wrestle, you got to be fit. He says you got to flee some things. You got to turn away from some stuff. You got to shun, push away some things. Not in the physical, but in the spiritual. He says, man, there are some things that are unhealthy for you right in the church. He says, in the church, there are false teachers. As an athlete of God, as a man on the battlefield for the Lord, you cannot join yourself to fake and false people. I'm preaching, Ben, y'all saying amen. False teachers right in the church. And Paul says, flee false teachers. He addresses him as a man of God. He says, oh, man of God, flee. Now, understand that there's some significance to the title that Paul gives unto Timothy. He calls him man of God. Man of God. Man of God. Flee. He deals with Timothy before he tells him what to avoid. Now, this phrase man of God is significant in that it only applied to a few in the Old Testament. It applied to Samuel. It applied to David. It applied to the angels of the Lord. It applied to Moses. It applied to Elijah and Elijah. It applied to about 12 in the Old Testament. He says, men of God. Now, the title, men of God, denoted those in whom belong to God. He says, Timothy, you somebody because you belong to God. Man, you are God's man. You belong to God. You are dedicated to God. Now, that's a word for somebody here today. Because you too are in a struggle. And God told me to tell you that this title refers to you too. If you blood bought, if you're born again, if you're saved, if the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you, you are a man of God and a woman of God. You somebody. Don't you let Satan tell you that you are nobody. Don't you let people tell you that you are nobody. You somebody. Because you've been bought with a price. You belong to God. I told you, when you're a champion, you got to know how to look like a champion. You got to know how to act like a champion. I'm somebody. I'm God's son. I can't lose. I can't lose. I can't lose. You belong to God. Get that in your spirit. Because you're going to need it when you leave. You belong to God. He says, man, you can't act like them. Because you belong to God. God got his mark on you. You can't get caught up in the same thing they are caught up in. You can't teach the same damnable doctrines that they are teaching. He says, that's easy. See, it's easy to teach lies. Easy to teach lies. He says, but man, you're a man of God. You call to teach the truth. So he says you have to shun, number one, false teachers. The false teachers were presenting a version of Christianity that was profoundly corrupt. Paul said, if any man teach a different gospel and consent not to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he says, this person is proud, doting about, knowing nothing. He says, shun false teachers. They are teaching doctrines contrary to sound doctrine. He says, look at them. They're proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and stripes and words, and that where comes envy, strife, railings, and surmisings. They were teaching controversies and suspicions. They were teaching controversies and suspicions. Controversial suspicions. In word, surmising. Surmisings were those uncharitable insinuations in which angry controversialists indulged toward one another. In other words, they were having a word war. You know how people will ask you something that they feel you can't answer? Or they will give you this unending question. Y'all ever had a child ask you something about God? And you call yourself answering that? And then they come and ask the same thing according to the answer? Well, where did that come from? And you call yourself answering that. And then they come and say, well, where did that come from? And it just on and on. And on and on. That you will spend the whole day getting anywhere with them. That's what Paul was saying to Timothy. He said, these teachers are teaching, and their teachings are causing controversial suspicions. And I want you to know that all false teachers are not dead. Some of them will meet you.
That's right.
Right out there in the hallway. They'll meet you out there on the parking lot and say, did you hear what Reb said? And their approach to the conversation is, what you think about what he said? It's loaded. The question loaded, because they only want an open door so they can share with you their opinion.
That's right.
I'm preaching, Ben. Y'all saying amen. He says you have to watch these teachers, because they are teaching evil surmisings. He says they taught that godliness was a means to financial gain.
Amen.
that if you put your faith in God, God is going to make you rich.
That's right.
And if you are not rich, there has to be a problem with your faith. Paul had to share with Timothy, this thing is not about creature comforts, cottages, cash, and cruises. He says, this thing is about being content.
That's right.
That if God don't give you a house on the hill, he's still God. If God don't give you a whole lot of money in the bank, he's still God. If God don't change your wardrobe, he's still God. And listen, what God is doing in your life, he says you got to learn to be content. Because godliness is contentment. And listen, when you are content, it's hard for a person to conquer you. Amen. When you already got it settled in your spirit. Yes. That God, if he doesn't do another thing for you, is still all right. Yes. It's hard to conquer that kind of spirit. See, people, they can't cut you off when you are content in God. He says, you better avoid those false teachers. And then he says, man, you're hearing a lot about money. He says, you need to avoid the love of money.
Amen.
He says, money is all right. It's a good servant. But it's a terrible master. He says, when you make money your master, he'll make you clock in when you don't want to. He'll make you work long hours without pay. Come on, somebody. When you make money, you master. You'll do anything for it. And Paul says that when you get to that, it'll pierce you through with many sorrows. Instead of you living a life of delight, you will live a life of defeat and a life of sorrow. He says, when you give your heart to chasing after money, you'll sell yourself for a wooden nickel. I'm from the old school. My daddy was a little older. He would have been 82 the other day. And he could say some things. You know, a wooden nickel won't spin. He says, you'll sell yourself for a wooden nickel. Paul says you need to avoid that, Timothy.
That's right.
You need to flee.
Amen.
False teachers and this deep rooted desire for money.
Amen.
He says, but now if you're going to fight, not only do you need to flee, you need to follow after some things.
Yeah.
Follow after the things of God. He gives a listing of the things that we need to follow after in 11b clause. He says, follow after, which means to seek eagerly after. To follow after means to do more than hazardly walk behind. In other words, it implies pursuing with enthusiastic energy. When you think about the goodness of the Lord, you should not haphazardly come to church. You should not haphazardly read the Bible. When you think about the goodness of the Lord and all that God has done for you, you ought to have some enthusiastic energy. He says, when you follow after God, you need enthusiastic energy to chase after righteousness. Obedience to God. Righteousness is to strive to live upright. Live your life in accordance to the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says you need some enthusiastic energy to do that. He says you need enthusiastic energy to follow after godliness. Godliness conforming to God's image and character, striving to be Christ-like, having faith in God with the desire to always do His will. He says, if you're going to follow after God, you need enthusiastic energy for faith. Faith is not just trusting in God, but it is faithfulness to God. That I'm not going to base my life upon what everybody else is doing. Because irregardless of what everybody else is doing, I got some energy within me that won't let me turn loose the reins. That I got to do when nobody else is doing. I got to go when nobody else is going. I got to say when nobody else is saying. You need some enthusiastic energy to love God. That's why the Bible said, love Him with your entire faculties. Don't just give Him a thimble of love or a pinch of love or an ounce of love. Give Him all of you. He wants you. You need an enthusiastic energy to be patient. Steadfast perseverance. Determination that's needed to support faith in the face of adversity. You need enthusiastic energy. To be meek. To have a spirit of gentleness. He says, follow after. Not just haphazardly walking behind. Like Peter did when Jesus was arrested. The Bible says he followed afar. All of his energy was gone. The one he had given all of his faith and hope to had been arrested. And he thought that it was all over. So he followed afar. Listen, when you don't have the energy, you don't go all the way. It's easy to say where you leave. I follow. But if you don't have enthusiastic energy, you'll follow some. And that's what most people are doing, following some. They're willing to go so far.
That's right.
Their faith will cause or allow them to warm their hands in the enemy's fire.
That's right.
I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. He says, follow these things. And he closes out in verse 12 by saying, man, if you're going to fight, you be fit by fleeing and following. He said, but you got to stand up.
That's right.
You got to fight the good fight of faith.
Yeah.
Now, it means to abide in the word of God by faith, regardless of what we feel or what we think or what we understand.
That's right. Amen.
It means that God's word is our faith shield. I'm standing behind it.
That's right.
Fight the good fight of faith.
Amen.
Good fight of faith. The fact that you've been called by God and equipped with the Holy Spirit does not exempt you from evil opposition, but you fight the good fight of faith. The enemies of faith. The world is an enemy. The flesh is an enemy. The devil is an enemy. Principalities and powers are enemies. False teachers are enemies.
Yeah.
Arts of subduction are enemies.
Yeah.
But Paul said, you got to fight.
Yeah.
You got to get on your feet, man.
Yeah.
your shield on your arm. Put your breastplate on. Put your feet in some gospel sandals. He says you got to put on a helmet of salvation. You need a sword of the Spirit. He said you got to stand up against evil. He said man is a good fight, because we fight from victory. We don't fight for victory, but we fight from victory. In other words, it is grounded in the victory of Christ Jesus on the cross. Man, you're part of a winning team. He said you may lose a few battles, but that don't mean that you have lost the war. Because you are a part of a winning team. And you don't fight for victory, but you fight from victory. That's good news to me, that I have already won, because I'm in Christ Jesus. If we were close enough to one another, I would tell us to shake somebody's hand. But since we are 6 feet apart, you need to point at somebody and tell them we have already won. The victory has already been declared. I'm a winner in Jesus Christ. Not only is it a good fight because we fight from victory, but we fight under the captain of our salvation. Jesus has already given us salvation. And salvation is threefold in our life. Salvation is justification. That if I mess up, it was just as if I hadn't done a thing. Salvation is sanctification. That day by day, he's making me better. And day by day, he's making me like his son, Jesus Christ. But salvation is glorification. That when I leave this old life, I got a home on high, and my home is made for me. It's eternal in the heaven, where I will be made like unto Jesus in his own glorified body. Not only do we fight under the captain of our salvation, and we fight from victory, but the fight which we are fighting has already been settled. We have eternal life. And that's why Paul said to Timothy, you need to lay hold on eternal life. Eternal life is more than life after we die and go to heaven. But eternal life is victory in Jesus in the here and now. I got eternal life now. I win now. I got the victory now. Somebody ought to feel this in your spirit, that regardless of what you're going through, you got victory now. The whole world against you, you got victory now. You may have just lost your job, but you got victory now. He may have just walked out on you, or she may have just walked out on you. Your children may not be at their best, but you got victory now. You ought to shout with me, I got victory now. The victory that Jesus won that Friday on Calvary's cross is my victory now. I wasn't there, but I believe by spirit that they hung him high and they stretched him wide. They abused my Jesus. They hung him between two thieves. He uttered seven words and he locked him. He dropped his head in the locks of his shoulders and he died. Is there anybody in the room? No, he died. But I thank God that's not the end of the story, because Friday night he was in the grave, Saturday morning he was in the grave, Saturday noon he was in the grave, Saturday night he was in the grave, but Sunday morning, do I have any Sunday morning believers? Sunday morning, he got up out of the grave with all power, heaven and earth in his hands. Power to hold you. Power to protect you. Power to empower you. Power to provide for you. Come on, shout back with me if you will. Power. He got up with all power, heaven and earth in his hands. Let me ask you one question this morning. Ain't he all right? If you know he's all right, let me hear you say yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got the victory. I got the victory. Come on, shout that with me. I got the victory. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind. Victory today is mine. Joy is mine. Joy is mine. Joy today.
Confessing that with your mouth. Come, you can be saved. Secondly, if you're here in need of a church home, and the Lord has laid this church on your heart. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Thirdly, if you're here and you need to be restored. Come on. The Lord is able to restore you. Come on. Come on. As we celebrate the goodness of the Lord. Come on. Come on. Come on. Amen. Listen, before we leave, I want to remind you of the profile that we have online for our online church directory. We want you to go in and create your profile so we can have an online church directory. We do things a little different now. A lot of things are digital or technical, and not so much of the paper books or directories. So we want you to please go online. If you need some help in doing that, see Sister Pinky. Who else? Sister Elnora, is she here? Where's Sister Elnora? All right. Sister Elnora in the, what is that red? Huh? All right. Sister Elnora, y'all see Sister Elnora or Sister Pinky so they can help you get set up so we can communicate. You know, that's how we do it now. We have an online church directory. You can know who's a member of the church, and we want you to help us get the word out. Share this with all the people you know. Call them and tell them to go online to fill out their online profile. Do they need the app? Okay, what's the name of that app? Ram. All right. Pinky says on the website. She said, Pastor, leave me alone. It's on the website. Y'all know I love the kid. But so y'all go on the website. Listen, and listen, we want you to do that. We got a lot of new things coming, and I know it's coming as a flood. But if we don't make the necessary adjustments, we won't be able to make the shift. Okay? We're living in a technical age. All right? And so we want you to do that. So please see Sister Pinky and Sister Elnora. And there are some others that can help you too. But please see them and do that. Okay? Listen, be in prayer for the Bryant family. We are funeralizing Sister Bryant's daughter on Thursday at the Veterans Cemetery in Montevallo. Is that the name of it? All right, so make sure you're praying for that family. Pray for Brother Law. He went in to have a little procedure, and he suffered a little mild stroke from that procedure. He's recovering well, and I talked with his wife, and they're looking for him to make a full recovery. Amen. 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 Also, be in prayer for Miss Nebbitt. She's going in to have a procedure tomorrow, and I talked with her on yesterday, I was sharing with them how I miss those voices. You know, since we've been out of service, Sister Van, Sister Nebbitt, and all of those ladies that's really gifted in singing, and then that can sing those old hymns. And what I asked Miss Nebbitt to do for me yesterday, I said, well, since we've been out, I said, will you please sing me a song on the phone? And she sang the song, and my God, we had church on the phone. And I had to give the benediction. We had service on the phone. But that's what it's about. Listen, good to see Brother Green. He's been steady. He's recovering from skin cell. And good to see Brother Monzette and his family. And let me see who else been out. Anybody else been out? All right. All right. All right, all hearts and minds clear. Everybody sing, amen. 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 Sing it over. Amen. The grace of God in this sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with you now, henceforth, and forevermore. God bless every giver, bless every soul under the sound of my voice, those that are in person and those that are virtual. We pray your blessings upon them. Cover them, Father, and allow us to meet again, to do it again, Father, to proclaim your word and to worship you for your goodness and your grace. Go before us. Encamp angels around us. Keep us on the way. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Brother Jesse will give us instructions.
Thank you all for coming. God bless you. The ushers will...